Good morning. Good morning, everybody. God bless you this morning and welcome to Healing School. Healing School is the place where people come to hear and be healed. This morning is a great morning to do just that. This morning, you're going to get blessed again. Welcome to everybody. And if this is your first time in Healing School, God bless you. We praise God for you also. Grab pen and paper. Even get your Bibles or your iPad or whatever, your phone, whatever you're using for your notes. I'm going to take you on a journey this morning, which I call of understanding. That's what I call it. Now, it's time for you to find out truth. Because the Bible says truth makes you free. Well, if truth makes you free, a lie must keep you in bondage. And so many people are in bondage to sickness, to disease, to poverty, and to debt because they don't know the truth about it. So how can you operate in something that you don't know? You can't. This morning, we are talking about redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And our subtopic is God's people will be raised to life. That subtopic again is God's people will be raised to life. Now, how are they raised to life? Well, you're going to find out this morning. So listen, the prophet and I keep telling you, you were healed. We keep saying that. But I think more understanding need to be given to you. That's why the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It don't come by having heard it before. Well, I done heard this before. No, you need to hear it again and again and again and some more and ad infinitum until the lights come on. So this is why many people are sick. They're weak. They're broke. They're so disgusted. Because they don't know the truth or have not embraced it. I want to encourage you today, embrace the truth today. What's the truth? God's word is truth. Pastor Leo, good morning.
Good morning.
Pastor Leo is going to work with me today. So this is part one of redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Subtopic, God's people will be raised to life. All right, Pastor Leo, we can take off with the notes.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 15 in the CEV. And it reads, if we preach that Christ was raised from death, how can some of you say the dead will not be raised to life? If they won't be raised to life, Christ himself wasn't raised to life. And if Christ wasn't raised to life, our message is worthless. And so is your faith. If the dead won't be raised to life, we have told lies about God by saying he raised Christ to life when he really did not.
Now, this is the reason why the scripture called Jesus the sample son. You know how you go in a restaurant and you're looking at the menu and you see a sample platter? It has a little bit of everything, right? Well, Jesus is called the sample son. He have tasted death for everybody. Because if he didn't, friends, you sure would have to. Are you listening to me? Jesus took our sickness. How did we get there? Through sin. And you're going to see that this morning. Now, Pastor Lil, I want you to do this one more time, and we'll move on from there.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 15 in the CV.
Pay attention to words now. Come on.
If we preach that Christ was raised from death, how can some of you say the dead will not be raised to life? If they won't be raised to life, Christ himself wasn't raised to life. And if Christ wasn't raised to life, our message is worthless, and so is your faith. If the dead won't be raised to life, we have told lies about God by saying he raised Christ to life when he really did not.
Now, a few Sundays ago, you celebrated, Resurrection Sunday, which is called, many people call it Easter. Okay? They'll celebrate that day, but they don't know. They don't really understand what really took place. How did we get to that day? How did we do it? And they even sang the song, been singing it for years and years and years. He rose, he rose, he rose from the dead. He rose. You got what I'm saying to you? Maybe even you sung that. I'm not saying it's wrong to sing that. That's not my point. My point is, it have to be just more than a song. My point is, it's time to come to true understanding. Because say, listen, what did Jesus say? Jesus said this also. He said, my people perish for lack of what? Knowledge. Because they don't know. They're suffering. They're perishing. They're dying prematurely. And they think it's me calling them home. It's not. There are many people say, well, you know, the Lord called so-and-so home. No, he didn't. If you left by your own accord. Stay with me. If you left on your own accord. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 21, death and life is in the power of your tongue. In Psalms 91 and verse 16, he said he will satisfy you with what? Long life. You want to have long life? He said, I'll satisfy you with long life. Pay attention to words here. He'll satisfy you. Are you satisfied? No? Well, keep living. That's what he's telling you there. Glory to Jesus. Now listen. I can get stuck right there. But I'm not going to do that. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 12 to 14. And this also, I'm working a lot this morning in the CEV version of the scripture. So this is the CEV version. All right, Galatians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14.
The law isn't based on faith.
The law is not based on what?
On faith.
Pay attention to words now. The law, dear brothers and sisters, it was not and it is not based on what?
On faith.
On faith. Keep going.
It promises life only to people who obey its commands.
But it Christ promises life to who?
To only to people who obey its commands.
It promised life to people who will obey the word. What does the scripture say? See, what does the scripture say? What does the word actually say? That's where the rubber meets the road. The Bible said God works with his word with signs following. Again, he said, I'll satisfy you with long life and I'll show you my salvation. Keep going.
But Christ rescued us from the law's curse.
What did he do? He rescued us from the law's curse. If you're looking at that in the King James, it would say Christ redeemed us. Same thing as rescue. He redeemed us from the curse of the what? The law. So if you are born again this morning, listen, you are not under the curse. You are under the blessing. If you are born again this morning, you are not under the law. You are under the blessing. Stay with me now. Keep going.
But Christ rescued us from the curse of the law. But Christ rescued us from the law's curse when he became a curse in our place.
Look, he took your what? He took your place. I say he took your place. In other words, when Jesus, watch this here, when Jesus went to Calvary and died, he didn't go back to heaven when he died. He went to hell. Remember, he's taken our place. If Jesus had not took our place, we would have had to go to hell. But that's not what he did. He went in our place. You better pray that he did. Be glad that he did, because if he didn't, you and I would certainly have to go to hell. But today, we don't have to. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. Now, it'll be sad if you did, because you really don't have to. All right?
This is because the scriptures say that anyone who is nailed to a tree is under a curse. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, the blessing promised to Abraham was taken to the Gentiles. This happened so that by faith, we would be given the promised Holy Spirit.
And today is here.
Amen.
The promise of the Holy Spirit is here. Do you see that? It's here.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. It's here.
Amen.
And because it is, listen, because of what Jesus did, you and I don't have to stay sick. You and I don't have to stay in poverty. You and I don't have to stay spiritually dead. No, we don't. No, we don't. Christ redeemed us from that curse. The Bible says, being made a curse for us. He was made a what? A curse for us. That's why the scriptures say, him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin. He became sin for us, me and you, for all of us. So that not the curse, but the blessing of Abraham may come upon us. Okay, keep going.
Amen. Colossians 2, 8 through 22 in the CEV.
Yes.
Don't let anyone fool you by using senseless arguments.
Now pay attention to words now. Don't be deceived, he's telling you. Don't let nobody fool you. Keep going.
These arguments may sound wise, but they are only human teachings. They come from the powers of this world and not from Christ.
They come from where? They come from the world system. They come from the world system. The power of this world, the world system. They don't come from Christ. See, the Bible said Christ in you, the hope of glory. They didn't come from Christ. Okay, keep going.
God lives fully in Christ.
Verse 9. Thank you. Read it again.
God lives fully in Christ.
God lives where? He lives fully in Christ. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ is all in all. Keep going.
And you are fully grown because you belong to Christ.
Who do you belong to? You belong to Christ. Who what?
And you are fully grown because you belong to Christ, who is over every power and authority.
The Bible said we have power far above. We have power far above. Not only that, Jesus said in the book of Luke, he saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. He saw him fall. Keep going.
Christ has also taken away your selfish desires, just as circumcision removes flesh from the body.
Now, you know what circumcision is, right? Cutting away of the foreskin, moving flesh from the body. Read that part again.
Christ has also taken away your selfish desires, just as circumcision removes flesh from the body.
Pay attention to words. He took it away. He didn't atone it. Atone means to cover up. That's not what he did. Your sins are not atoned. If there are, you're still not saved. Your sins are not atoned. He moved it all together. And that's why the Bible says, talking about Jesus, whom the Son set free. Or we could say it this way, who Jesus set free is free what? Indeed. You see it? Now, look at that word indeed. I mentioned that for a reason. Indeed, indeed. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. And just stay where you are, Pastor Lil. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That indeed is again. And see, it's if you continue. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. What is that indeed talking about? You are the real deal. But you got to continue. See, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. You're finding out the truth all the time. And the truth that you know and operate in makes you what? Makes you free. Well, again, if truth makes you free, a lie will keep you in bondage. And this is where the lies come from. Oh, God has put this on me to teach me something. No, the devil's trying to kill you. Are you listening to me? Why is the devil trying to kill you? Just to give you a reason. Let me give you this. In John 10:10, he said the thief come. Well, Jesus is not the thief. Satan is. So we can say it this way. Satan come to rob, steal, kill, destroy. This is John 10:10. In that same verse, Jesus said, but I have come so that you can have what? Life. So you can have what? Life. Not death. So you can have what? Life. I have come. I have come. So you can have life and have it in abundance. The Amplified Classic Bible says, have it to the full till it runs over. Glory to Jesus. Do you see that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have it to the full till it runs over. Let me say this to you before we move on. Nobody, Mr. and Mrs. Adam, or their children, or anybody else, listen, they did not have an age. Mr. and Mrs. Adam, you couldn't ask them how old they were because they didn't have an age. Age came in with sin, when they sinned. Now, age is here. But before that, before their sin, they didn't have an age. Are you listening to me here? There was none. That age came in with sin. Many people ask people all the time, well, how old are you? Well, how old are you? They get together with family. Oh, well, so-and-so is this age, and so-and-so is that age, and he's that age, she's that. Listen to me. Listen. Why you do that? Because you don't know. There was no such thing as age. And that's why the Bible says, and I think we're going to see it this morning, in Adam all died. Why? He sinned. And it brought in death. It brought in age. How old are you? Age. I'm this many years old. Age. Sin brought in age. Before, there was no such thing as age. There was no such thing as how old are you? Are you listening to me here? Pay attention to words now. All right, Pastor Leo.
Again, Christ has also taken away your selfish desires, just as circumcision removes flesh from the body. And when you were baptized, it was the same as being buried with Christ. Then you were raised to life because you had faith in the power of God who raised Christ from death.
You had faith in the power of what?
You had faith in the power of God who raised Christ from death.
Look, again, in Adam, if you stay in Adam, you are under the curse. But if you're born again, you of Christ, you live the blessing. You live life, abundant life. Are you with me this morning? See?
Amen.
Come on. Come on.
And when you were baptized, it was the same as being buried with Christ. Then you were raised to life.
When you were baptized, what happened?
You were raised to life.
You were raised to life. In other words, this is why the baptismal water is called the liquid grave. You notice when they bring you under that water, they don't leave you down there. Why? Because God raised Jesus. We got to raise you too. That's what it is symbolic of. Are you listening to me? Water baptism is a public testimony. You're telling everybody, look, I am identified now with Christ. If God raised Jesus from the dead on that third day, the Bible said when Jesus got up, you and I got up. Are you hearing me here? You didn't get up sick. You didn't get up in poverty because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. What does the curse of the law consist of? Three things. Poverty. So you've been redeemed from poverty. You've been redeemed from sickness. And you've been redeemed from spiritual debt. Come on now.
Amen.
You've been redeemed from it. From it. You've been taken out of that. Jesus died to bring you out of poverty just as much as he did sin. Did you know that?
Amen.
Keep going.
Amen. Then you were raised to life because you had faith in the power of God who raised Christ from death. You were dead because you were sinful and were not God's people.
That's what it means by in Adam. See, Adam and Mrs. Adam sinned. So in Adam, all died. If you stay in Adam, hey, you got what I'm saying? All died. But in Christ, pay attention to words now, in Christ, watch this word, in Christ, all. Who is all? All in, that receive Christ, that are in Christ, are what? In Adam all died, but Christ, in Christ all were made alive. Lives. Are you alive this morning? There's a lot of walking dead people. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
See, listen. Unbelief is a disease of the soul. Unbelief is a disease of the soul. Come on.
But God let Christ make you alive when God he forgave.
Let Christ do what? God let Christ make you. Pay attention to words. God let Christ make me and you what? Alive. Alive. Come on.
When he forgave all our sins.
Look there. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus forgave all your sins? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Read it again.
But God let Christ make you alive when he forgave all our sins.
If you don't believe that, you're not alive. Remember I said there's a lot of walking dead folks? You see it?
Yeah. Can I say something?
I knew you would.
You know, I think a lot of people get stuck there with sin.
Yep.
Because they're always remembering what they did wrong, what others do wrong. And we don't get past that thought of that sin. It's like it's being held in our mind as a constant reminder, and we're so focused on the sin till we can't really see the fullness of what Christ did for us in freeing us from that. Even to the point where we hear even Paul and even Brother Hagin, you hear their words when they say, I don't know that man. That man died.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin said he would get people come up to him trying to get him to remember the old days. And he's like, I don't know what to talk about. That person is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And God can even cause you to, in a way, just totally forget all of that stuff.
That's right. That's what the Bible says.
Paul, and people knew Paul, what he did before he became Paul. And then he came back in another portion of scripture where he was writing and said, I've done no man wrong. I've done nobody wrong.
That's right.
Because in Christ, that doesn't even exist anymore. Then I'm thinking about Brother Jesse Duplantis when he had the testimony of going to heaven. And he said there he is before Jesus, and he's talking to him, and he's like, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes. And that Jesus told him, I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We hear all these different things, but what we have to understand is when Christ went to the cross and he did that, he totally wiped it out, as if it, to the point where to him, that doesn't even exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that exists and is left now is Christ in you. You in Christ. You're one with him. When he sees Jesus, Jesus is there before the altar of God, interceding for us. And when he looks down, he sees us, but he's seen Jesus there, the living sacrifice that wiped the sin totally and completely out of our lives, became that curse, separated us from it. You know, we were one with that curse. We were one with poverty. We were one with sickness and disease. We were one with all of these different things, the mental illnesses. We were one with the cancers. We were one with the diabetes. We were one with all of these diseases that have a name.
Mm-hmm.
And then now Christ said, I'm going to become all of that and deal with it properly so that you can be separated from it. Now you're free. You know, and that in itself is prosperity. I know you mentioned that prosperity was a part of us being separated from the curse. Well, and you hear a lot of people talk against the prosperity gospel, but the whole gospel is a prosperity message. Yeah. To be resurrected and raised to life, that's prosperity.
That's right.
To be in death is a lack of life. That's poverty.
Yes.
To be in financial debt, of course, is poverty. but all of these different things, when death came in through sin, through us, everything connected to us died. Relationships died. The mind began to die. The body began to die. Communities died. Finances died. There were a lot of famines. There was a lot of struggling going on. All of these different things. The moral concept of life began to die. It was poverty. It was lacking. It was lacking the life of God. And then when God had chosen a certain few people out of those situations, you see it in the Old Testament, there was a famine in Egypt, but then there was a place that was thriving right in the middle of this famine because they were separated. So now we can fully walk in what God has provided through Jesus. Being separated from that curse and right in the middle of everything that's going on, you can fully thrive through the word of God, by the spirit of God, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is there. The angels are there. We can thrive right in the midst of all of the turmoil and all of the confusion and be a walking testimony for people. So when they see us, they're like, man, how is it that you're thriving? Well, this is what I'm doing. I'm connected to a greater source. Oh, well, I need to be a part of that. And so we blessed. I don't think we really fully understand. We know we're blessed, but the fullness of it, the full extent of what we have been provided, coming into the knowledge of that and really believing in that. And like you said, indeed. Through our actions. You know, mm-hmm. Like where it says God forgave all our sins. Well, he didn't just forgive it by saying he forgave it. It took an action. There was a deed that had to be done in order for that to manifest. In order for that forgiveness to be able to manifest, an action had to be taken. And that's why Jesus came. So now when we say we receive what God has promised us, now an action has to be taken. It has to be a visible action. If you believe God bless your finances through giving, then there's going to be some action of giving. If you believe God has blessed you with the power and the strength to forgive, then there's going to be an action of forgiveness. If you believe that God has healed you, then there's going to be some actions of that healing. That's why Apostle always says, okay, now if you healed, do something you couldn't do before.
Yeah.
If you believe that.
That's good.
Like the example he always gave of faith. Oh, yeah, I believe the hamburger. Here's a hungry person starving, about to die. Oh, yeah, I believe if I eat that hamburger make me better. I believe it. And then they died. Why? They didn't act on it. They believe, but they didn't act.
Right.
We say we love, but people don't act in love. We say we believe the word, but people don't act by speaking the word. You know, when these encounters with our body through sickness come up on us, the first thing people will say is, oh, you know, this runs through the family. That was your first action. Your first action should always come through speaking the word only. And then the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you through all of the next steps. But the first step is speaking what God said. You got a pain? By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. That should be the only thing you say at that moment. The only thing you say at that moment. Prophet Helen did a teaching called First Words.
Yeah.
The first words is the most important words. And then every other word after that is going to help sustain that. We sustain the sickness with all of the words we speak. Oh, well, you know, it runs in my family. Yeah, you know, it's getting the best of me today. Yeah, you know, yeah, it's beating me. I'm getting whipped. I don't know if I'm going to make it. All of these words help sustain the sickness in our lives, in every aspect of our life. So the first thing that's necessary is for us to understand what we have and begin to have the deeds to show forth of what Jesus provided us. And it'll be visible. And it we'll just walk in that fullness of that blessing in our lives. And it'll affect and infect the people around us because of what Jesus did.
Pick it up in verse 12.
And when you were baptized, it was the same as being buried with Christ.
Then he died, we died with him. When he rose, we rose, we got up with him. I hope you're seeing that this morning. Come on.
Then you were raised to life because you had faith in the power of God.
You wasn't raised to death. You were raised to what? Life. Why? Why? Because
you had faith in the power of God who raised Christ from death.
There you go. Keep going.
You were dead because you were sinful and were not God's people. But God let Christ make you alive when you forgave all.
Do what? Make you alive.
When he forgave all our sins.
Come on.
When he forgave all our sins.
Keep going.
God wiped out the charges that were against us for disobeying the law of Moses. He took them away and nailed them to the cross. There Christ defeated all powers and forces. He let the whole world see them being led away as prisoners when he celebrated his victory.
That's right. Come on.
Don't let anyone tell you that you must eat or what you must eat or drink. Don't let them say you must celebrate the new moon festival, the Sabbath, or any other festival. These things are only a shadow of what was to come, but Christ is real. Don't be cheated by people who make a show of acting humble and who worship angels. They brag about seeing visions, but it is all nonsense because their minds are filled with selfish desires. They are no longer part of Christ, who is the head of the whole body. Christ gives the body its strength, and he uses its joints and muscles to hold it together as it grows by the power of God.
Did you see that? It grows by the what? It grows by the power of God. Now listen, I trust today you have heard what you needed to hear. Child of God, let me tell you something. Jesus said by his stripes that he took, you and I were healed. We are healed this morning. Oh, but I don't feel. Stop trying to feel and receive it. Believe it. Can you believe? All things are possible to you and I that what?
Believe.
Do you believe Christ hung there for you in your place? Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus got up from the dead?
Amen.
If you believe it, you are healed. Because when did you get your healing? When Jesus died. And he came back to tell us about it. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Leo, this is awesome.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Before we end, I want to clarify something too. I'm sounding like Prophet Helen now. When I'm saying deed, I'm not saying you're doing something to receive what God has done. I'm saying when you receive what God has done, it's going to be your nature now to begin to do these things, because that's who you are. We're new in Christ. We're born again believers. We are born again spirits. We're just like God. We have his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We have his ability. So now all of these things, the action of forgiveness, the action of walking in love, the action of being healed and living out our healing is just going to become, it's going to be so natural. It's going to flow. You're just going to know this is what you're supposed to do. And all of the stuff that you were doing, all of the things you were saying, you won't even have a desire to even speak those things again, because it's going to just become so nasty to you. So I just wanted to clarify that point. We're not doing works to receive what God has done. We're doing works because our nature has changed. And so our works change because of that.
Yeah. Jesus said, the works that I do, shall you do also. Why? Because I go to my Father, which is in heaven. Where is he now? With his Father in heaven. So what are you and I supposed to be doing? The works that he did when he was here. And the Holy Spirit is right here to lead you and guide you and help you. Amen.
Amen.
He's right here to help. He is your helper. He's not going to do it for you, but he will help you. He will assist you. You see it?
Amen.
Praise God. Free indeed.
Free indeed.
You're the real deal. Those disciples had left everything to follow Jesus. Now, they had other people following too, but it was another walk in the park for them. But these hand 12 pick fellows, if you allow me to say it that way, it cost them. They were businessmen. They were young businessmen. They were entrepreneurs. They left all of that. They continued in the word. When it got hot in the kitchen, they didn't run out. They stayed right there. They were the real deal. Indeed, mean you are the real deal. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Again, you're the real deal. Yeah. You see it?